نعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهد الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده
ورسوله. أما بعد, let's continue. Let's continue with Lum'atul I'tiqad, the book of creed compiled by the Imam Ibn Qudama al-Maqdisi rahimahullah, with the sharh, the explanation of Shaykh Salih al-Fawzan hafidhahullah. Then last week we covered three of the attributes of Allah the Most High: As-Sakhat, wrath, with a fatha on the kha, not a sukun as I was reading it, but rather with a fatha, sakhat. And secondly, al-karaha, hatred. And thirdly, al-nuzul, descending. So with regard to what we covered, and the explanation of Shaykh Salih al-Fawzan, hafidhahullah, then who can remember, how did Shaykh al-Fawzan explain as-sakhat? How did he briefly explain what as-sakhat is? Yeah. As the brother mentioned, the Shaykh explained it is a type of anger. Type of anger, type of ghadab. He mentioned a point that brings a question: who does Allah have sakhat? Who does Allah have wrath upon? Upon whom does He have wrath? Upon all the people? Some of the people? Which people?
Those who commit shirk and do sins.
Yeah. But those who are unbelievers, and those who commit shirk, and those who are His enemies, and those who disobey Him. Who can answer the question, in what aspect of the attribute of sakhat, in what aspect of the attribute of wrath, do the Creator and the creation share? In what aspect of that attribute do the Creator and the creation share?
In none of it, even though they can have the same meaning and the word, but and they're not alike at all, because of the ayah laysa kamithlihi shay'un wa huwa as-sami'ul basir.
Yeah. That they share with regard to the attribute, that both the Creator and the creation share with regard to the wording of the attribute. Sakhat is an attribute, wrath is an attribute that the Creator has, and it's an attribute which the creation has. So they share in the wording of the attribute, and they share in the meaning of the attribute. That means wrath for both the Creator and the creation. And as for the where they differ, where is there a difference between the creation and the Creator?
The anger of Allah and the anger of creation are completely different.
Yeah.
There's no resemblance between.
So they differ in the kayfiyyah, they differ in how the attribute is. But the anger of the creation is not like the anger of the Creator. The anger of the Creator is not like the anger of the creation. So they differ in how the attribute is. In the kayfiyyah. With regard to the explanation of Shaykh al-Fawzan, do we say that Allah, with regard to the attribute of al-karaha, hating, and Allah yakrah, He hates, do we say that Allah hates certain people? Or do we say only that He hates actions which they do? Something which came in the explanation of Shaykh al-Fawzan. Which do we say, which is correct? To say that Allah, He hates certain people? Or we only say no, He hates only actions?
Actions.
Yeah, sometimes there's some points in the explanation. You can, you know, overlook, rahmakallah. But they're there. As Shaykh al-Fawzan mentioned, that we affirm that Allah hates certain individuals and certain actions, both. Both actions and individuals. With regard to the nuzul, the descent, the descending of Allah the Most High, then when does Allah descend to the lowest heaven? Yeah. Allah descends when the last third of the night arrives. In the last third of the night, Allah descends to the lowest heaven, in accordance with the authentic hadith, the hadith which is mutawatir. Reported from a large number of companions by a large number of people at every chain of transmission, every level of the chain of transmission. Who can remember the answer which Shaykh al-Fawzan gave? And in fact he gave three answers. One, the first and second and the third. Three responses to those people of innovation who say that the descending and nuzul refers to the descending of Allah's command, not to the descending of Allah Himself. They say, these people of innovation say, rather, it means Allah's command descending. Shaykh al-Fawzan answered that from three aspects, or with three responses. You don't remember these three, or any one of these three.
One of them is that, it was the Allah's amr which descended. Be on the last third of the night. Allah's order descends throughout.
Yeah, that's one. That one of them was that if it was Allah's command which descends, then this would not be restricted to the last third of the night, because Allah's commands descend at all times, continually. Allah's commands are descending. It would not be restricted to the last third of the night, as it's restricted in this hadith, in the saying of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that your Lord descends in the last third of the night. You can remember either of the other two aspects of the response that he gave. But the actual wording of the hadith, that your Lord descends in the last third of the night and says, is there anyone who will ask forgiveness of me so that I will forgive him? Is there anyone who will make supplication to me so that I will respond to him to the end? So these are things that only Allah the Most High can say. Not his command says, is there only anyone who can ask forgiveness of me so that I will forgive him? These are statements of the Lord the Most High. He is the one who forgives. He is the one who says these things. And the third aspect, which was the first thing the Shaykh mentioned in answer, the first answer.
In the same hadith where the Prophet said that Allah descends, he didn't say that Allah's command descends, he said that Allah descends.
Yeah. In the hadith itself, then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Yanzilu Rabbuna," our Lord descends. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who is the most truthful and the most able to speak Arabic and the most able to say what he was meant to say, he did not say the command of our Lord descends. He said, "Our Lord descends." So he attributed and ascribed the descending to Allah, to our Lord, and he did not ascribe it to the command of our Lord. What did Shaykh al-Fawzan say about speech which people bring up about whether Allah descends with movement or without movement? What do we say with regard to the life of that? We affirm, we deny, we enter into it, we don't enter into it. With regard to that speech, what do we do? Whether Allah descends with movement or not? Because there are some people, when it's mentioned, this matter, they bring this matter, they say, does that mean that Allah descends, Allah moves, or it doesn't? So what do we say in the light of that matter?
We don't enter into that.
That we do not enter into the light of that. We don't enter into the light of that speech. We affirm what Allah the Most High affirmed for Himself, and we affirm what the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam affirmed for our Lord, who is that is descended in the last day of the night, and we don't enter into these foolish speeches. Shaykh Khawzan mentioned that instead of the like of this foolish speech, whether Allah descends with movement or without movement, And does it mean such and such? And how? And such and such? Shaykh al-Fawzan said, instead of this, what should we do? What should our action be instead of that? With regard to this attribute of Allah, the Most High Descended. What action should it produce? Yeah. Yeah. Instead of entering into dealing with the hadith while raising these questions and these matters which have no benefit, that we should seek the opportunity of seizing the benefit of the last third of the night and seeking to apply the hadith, and therefore making dua in the last third of the night, calling upon Allah, worshipping Allah in that last third of the night. And with regard to the continuation, then we reached what in this print is page 83, the saying of the author, Imam Ibn Qudama al-Maqdisi, rahimahullah, wa qawluhu, يَعْجَبُ رَبُّكَ مِنَ الشَّابِ لَيْسَتْ لَهُ صَبْوَةٌ. And he's saying, your Lord marvels at a youth who does not incline towards desires. And he's saying, your Lord يَعْجَبُ, your Lord marvels at a youth who does not incline towards desires. This word, ya'jabu, marvels or is amazed at, or the like of that. Shaykh al-Fawzan said in explanation, this contains affirmation of al-ajab, marveling for Allah, the Perfect and Most High, and that He marvels at the youth, meaning He loves this, He the Majestic and Most High, and He marvels at it. And al-ajab, linguistically this word al-ajab, which the Shaykh explains here, he said al-ajab, which is marveling or surprise or wonder, something like that. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, it is something departing from what is usual. He's explained when this arises. When does surprise or marvel or wonder, when does it happen? He said, it is when something departs from what is usual. This causes al-ajab. This causes wonder or surprise. And Allah is described with the attribute of al-ajab, wonder. And the created being is described with the attribute of al-ajab, wonder or surprise. Along with the difference between the two wonders, that of the Creator and that of the creation. There's a difference between the ajab, the wonder of the Creator, and the ajab, the wonder or surprise of the creation. Then he explains the word in the narration, sabwa, your Lord marvels at the youth who has no inclination towards desires, who does not have sabwa. So Shaykh al-Fawzan said, as-sabwa is inclination towards desires and enjoyable things. Since it is usual with a youth, because of the strength of youth, and because he has strong desires, it is usual in him that he inclines towards desires, and towards inattentiveness, and towards play, and towards enjoying this world. So therefore, when a youth comes who is contrary to what is commonly the case, and he leaves aside childish behavior and inclining towards desires, and instead he turns towards the worship of Allah, فِي شَبَابِهِ. There's this there's a printed error here, it should say fi babihi, it should be fi shababihi. And he turns towards the worship of Allah in the time of his youth. Then this causes Allah, the Majestic and Most High, to marvel, to have ajab, to marvel at it, because it is something surprising. Then the Shaykh said, and there occurs in another hadith that from the seven people whom Allah will shade in His shade on the Day of Resurrection is شَابًا نَشَأَ فِي عِبَادَةِ اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى, a youth who grew up upon the worship of Allah, the Perfect and Most High. And in a footnote they mentioned this is a part of a hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, reported by Al-Bukhari as hadith number 660 and reported by Muslim. Then the Shaykh said, and his exiting, and this youth who is mentioned in the narration of the chapter, and we'll mention the referencing for it at the end if I remember, if I forget, remind me. The Shaykh said, and his exiting from the phase of youth and from overwhelming desires, and that he becomes accustomed to worship, this is something amazing and is an evidence for the strength of his iman. And the Shaykh gives the opposite case, and the person referred to in the like of this narration here, the youth who has no inclination towards, who does not incline towards desires, this is something of wonder, a matter of wonder, ajab, and a strength, as the Shaykh said, a proof of the strength of his iman, that he turns away from desires and turns and is upon the worship of Allah the Most High instead. Then the Shaykh said, giving the opposite case, just as the aged old man, when he commits a slip or a lapse, and it commits a sin, then this is something which is regarded as surprising from him, because he is at an age where it is not befitting for him to commit violations and to incline towards desires because of his advanced age. So his falling into that which is forbidden is a proof of the weakness of his iman, the weakness of his true faith. And just these two are opposite to each other. The youth who turns away from desires, even if there's a strong desire with him, he turns away from that as upon the worship of Allah. This is something, a matter of marvel, wonder or marvel. And likewise the opposite case, the old man who still, even though he has weak desires, he still commits sins. And this is a matter of wonder and a proof of weakness in the iman. Just as the youth who turns to the worship of Allah is a proof of the strength of iman. Then the Shaykh said, and therefore there occurs that from those whom Allah will not speak to on the day of resurrection, and those whom He will not purify, and those whom He will not look at, and for whom there will be a painful punishment, amongst them is a Shaykh al-Zani, an old man who commits zina, an old man who commits fornication. or in another wording, وَشَيْمِطٌ زَانٍ, a little grey-haired person who commits fornication. And that first wording, a Shaykh al-Zani, from those whom Allah will not speak to on the day of resurrection, nor purify, nor look at, and for whom will receive a painful punishment, is al-Shaykh al-Zani, an old man who commits fornication. And they mention the footnote, this is reported in the Musnad of Imam Ahmad, and by Muslim, in the Sahih of Muslim, from a hadith of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. And as for the second wording, وَشَيْمِطٌ زَانٍ, a little grey-haired person. And they mention, this is reported by Tabarani in Al-Mu'jam al-Kabir, from a hadith of Salman, and its narrators are those used in the Sahih. Then Shaykh Fawzan said, the second wording, وَشَيْمِط, is a diminutive of ashmat. In the word ashmat, made a little ashmat. And the word little ashmat here is for belittlement. And the word ashmat, it means a person whose black hair is mixed with white hairs. A person whose black hair is mixed with white hair, because of age. And he mentioned he has been a little one as well, to belittle the status of this person. This little hair, grey-haired old man who still commits fornication. Then the Shaykh said, so what is usual with regard to the like of this one? And the old man, the person who's become grey-haired, is that he turns to worship. So if he turns away from worship and turns towards desires, then he has departed from what is usual. And his sin becomes greater than the sin of the youth. And the old man who commits fornication, his sin is worse than the youth who commits the same crime of fornication. The sin of the old man is greater. Sheikh said, because the youth is urged on by strong desires. As for this one, the old man, then he does not have strong desires. Rather, because of his love of disobedience and his becoming accustomed to it, he therefore inclined to it. So in summary, this hadith contains affirmation of al-ajab, marveling for Allah, the Majestic and Most High. And that he ya'jab, he marvels at some of his servants. And he marvels at actions. And the created being marvels, or is amazed also. And he gives an evidence for this, that this attribute of ajab also applies to creation. He said, he the Most High said to his Prophet, وَإِن تَعْجَبْ فَعَجَبٌ قَوْلُهُمْ أَإِذَا كُنَّا تُرَابًا أَإِنَّا لَفِي خَلْقٍ جَدِيدٍ. Surah Al-Ra'ad, the 13th Surah, Ayah 5. With the explanation, and this ayah being addressed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if you are surprised or amazed, then indeed they're saying, it's surprising that when we have turned to dust, we are then going to be in a new creation, we're then going to be recreated as a new creation. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, he described his Prophet that he ya'jab, that he wonders, is surprised. And he described himself in this narration, in this hadith, that he ya'jab, that he wonders. Along with the difference between the two wonders. The wonder, that of the Creator and that of the creation. The wondering of marveling. He said, along with the difference between the two marvelings, the marveling of the Creator and the marveling of the creation. And that's where Shaykh al-Fawzan ends explanation of this point. And with regard to the narration, the hadith, Ya'jabu, the hadith of the chapter of the text here, Ya'jabu Rabbuka min ash-shabi laysa lahu saghwa. Your Lord marvels at the youth who does not incline towards desires. Then they mention something in a footnote here about who reports the hadith. And as for some of the verifiers of this hadith, and the verifiers of the book, amongst them Shaykh Badr al-Badr, then he explains that this is actually a weak narration, an unauthentic narration. But he said, Shaykh Badr al-Badr said in his checking, it is reported by Ahmad and Ibn Abi Asim in his book As-Sunnah, and Abu Ya'la and At-Tabarani, and he gives a list of those who report this hadith. Then he said, and its chain of narration is da'if, its chain of narration is weak. It contains Ibn Lahi'ah, who was Abdullah. He was generally acceptable, but he became senile. In later life he became senile, his memory fell to pieces. And it was declared weak, likewise by Ibn Hajar and As-Sakhawi, as occurs in the book Al-Maqasid Al-Hasan. That's the end of the quote from Shaykh Badr al-Badr. And as for this hadith, it's likewise declared weak, da'if, by Shaykh al-Albani, rahimahullah, in his checking of the book As-Sunnah of Ibn Abi Asim, for the same reason, because the narrator, Abdullah ibn Lahi'ah. Then, as a side point here, so the question remains, then what is authentic to affirm this attribute of Allah the Most High? And the answer is that from the authentic proofs, affirming an ajab, affirming marvelling for Allah the Most High, is that which Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah mentioned in his explanation of Al-Wasitiyya, from the saying of Allah the Most High, بَلْ عَجِبْتَ وَيَسْخَرُونَ Surah As-Saffat, the 37th surah, ayah 12. 37th surah, ayah 12, with the explanation, and this came a long time ago in the explanation of Al-Aqidah Al-Wasatiyya. We'll mention again this point. بَلْ عَجِبْتَ وَيَسْخَرُونَ with the explanation, rather you wonder and they mock. You, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you wonder at them and they mock. Shaykh al-Fahmin said, the proof here is in another recitation of this ayah with a dhamma. There's another correct recitation of this ayah with a dhamma. بَلْ عَجِبْتُ وَيَسْخَرُونَ with the meaning, rather I wonder and they mock. So in the second recitation, the Bal Ajibtu, the verb, is ascribed for Allah the Most High Himself. Meaning, I wonder, I have ajab, I wonder, or rather I marvel. Because whenever I say wonder, it means marvel, I mean marvel. Rather, I marvel and they mock. The Shaykh said with the recitation with Dhamma. As a side point, Al-Tabari mentions, this was the recitation of most of the reciters of Al-Kufa. It's a correct recitation, just the same as Bal Ajibta with a fatha is a correct recitation. So with that second recitation, it's a proof for an ajab, the marveling of Allah the Most High. And as a second evidence, then we have the hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, عَجِبَ اللَّهُ مِنْ قَوْمٍ يَدْخُلُونَ الْجَنَّةَ فِي السَّلَاسِلُ Allah marvels at a people who will enter paradise in chains. The hadith reported by Al-Bukhari. It's hadith 3010. And the explainers mention, meaning those people who are unbelievers, and Islam took over their countries and took them as captives, and put them into chains, took them as captives, brought them back to the lands of the Muslims, and then they accepted Islam. Allah. And finally, with regard to this attribute, when Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah, he said in his explanation of this point, he said, Al-Ajab, marveling, is from the attributes of Allah, which are confirmed by the book and the sunnah and the consensus, the ijma' of the salaf. Allah the Most High said, Bal ajibta wa yaskharoon. Surah As-Saffat, ayah 12. With the recitation of Dhamma and the Ta'. Meaning, Bal ajibtu wa yaskharoon. With that second recitation. With the meaning, rather I wonder, or rather I marvel, rather I marvel, and they mock. He said, and the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he quotes the hadith of a chapter here, يَعْجَبُ رَبُّكَ مِنَ الشَّابِ لَيْسَ أَهُ صَبْوًا. Your Lord marvels at the youth who has no inclination towards desires. Shaykh Ibn Thimin said, reported by Ahmad in the Musnad from Uqba ibn Amir from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and it contains Ibn Lahiyah. In other words, even Shaykh Ibn Thimin is indicating the weakness of this narration because it contains the narrator Ibn Lahiyah. Then he said, and the Salaf are agreed in consensus upon affirming an ajab, marveling for Allah. So therefore it is obligatory to affirm it for Him without tahreef, without distorting, and without ta'til, without depriving it of its meaning, and without takif, not saying how, and without tamthil, not likening it to the attributes of creation. And it is ajabun, it is marveling, which is true and real, as befits Allah. And some of the people who deny the attributes explain it to mean giving reward. And we respond to them with what preceded in the fourth principle. Meaning, the principle that we've had a number of times now that the Shaykh mentioned. This is not what the Salaf were upon, it's contrary to what's apparent from the texts. There is no authentic proof to back it up. Then Shaykh Uthaymeen made an important point here. He said, and al-ajab, in the language, al-ajab, marveling, is of two types. The first of them, I mean linguistically, this word al-ajab comes with two meanings. The first of them is that which occurs, that marveling or wondering or surprise, which occurs as a result of something happening. Because the one who is surprised is not aware of the reasons for that event. And therefore he is startled and thinks it amazing and he is surprised at it. Then this type is something impossible to be applied to Allah, because nothing is hidden from Allah. And the first type of wonder or surprise is when something happens and a person is surprised at that. They can't understand how this thing happened. They don't know how it happened, what are the reasons and causes, they can't see how it happened. This cannot be applied to Allah, because nothing is hidden from Allah. Then he said the second meaning is that something happens which is something departing from its usual type, or something happening which is not befitting. And the one who is surprised, the one who wonders at it, knows about it. Then this is what is confirmed for Allah the Most High. In other words, we affirm that with the second meaning for Allah, not with the first meaning. That something happens which someone does not know about, so they're surprised it's happened. We do not say that about Allah the Most High. And with regard to the next line, then the Imam Ibn Qudamah said, وَقَوْلُهُ يَضْحَكُ اللَّهُ إِلَىٰ رَجُلَيْنِ قَتَلَ أَحَدُهُمَا الْآخَرِ ثُمَّ يَدْخُلَانِ الْجَنَّةِ. And he's saying, Allah laughs at two men, one of whom killed the other, and then they both enter into paradise. In a footnote they mention, this narration is reported by Imam Ahmad in his Musnad and by Al-Bukhari as Hadith 2826 and by Muslim from hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu. Shaykh al-Fawzan said in his explanation, this is also an authentic hadith. يَضْحَكَ اللَّهُ إِلَىٰ رَجُلَيْنِ, that Allah laughs at two men. He said, it contains a description of Allah with the attribute that He يَضْحَك, that He laughs. And the created being also laughs. However, with the difference that there is between the laughter of Allah, the Perfect and Most High, and the laughter of the creation. يَضْحَكَ اللَّهُ إِلَىٰ رَجُلَيْنِ يَقْتُلُ أَحَدُهُمَا الْآخَرِ كِلَاهُمَا يَدْخُلَانِ الْجَنَّةِ. Allah laughs at two men. One of them kills the other, but both of them enter into paradise. Shaykh Fawzan said, and there occurs an explanation of this, that the man who is the killer was upon unbelief. He was an unbeliever before. And the one who was killed was a believer. So the unbeliever killed the believer. And then Allah granted him repentance and accepted his repentance of this unbeliever. So he accepted Islam. And therefore he entered paradise. So he and the one who was killed will come together in paradise. Because Allah accepted the repentance of him. So this is a proof that Allah, the Perfect and Most High, laughs at this tremendous affair. That's where Shaykh al-Fawzan ends explanation of this point. And with regard to Shaykh al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, then he said, Abdahik, laughing is from the attributes of Allah which are confirmed by the Sunnah and by the consensus of the Salaf. Confirmed by both of those two, the Sunnah and by the consensus of the Salaf. He said, the Prophet said, and he mentions this hadith, Allah laughs at two men, one of whom killed the other, they both will enter paradise. And the completion of the hadith is, this one fought in Allah's cause and was killed. And then Allah granted repentance to the killer, and he was martyred, agreed upon. Then Shaykh said, and the Salaf are agreed in consensus upon affirming laughter for Allah. So therefore it is obligatory to affirm it for him without tahrif, without distorting the meaning, and without ta'til, without denying the meaning or depriving it of its meaning, and without takif, without saying how, and without tamthil, without causing it to resemble the attribute of the creation. And it is laughter which is true and real, as befits Allah the Most High. And some of the people who deny the attributes explain it to mean giving reward. And we respond to them with the like of what preceded in the fourth principle. Meaning that it's contrary to what's apparent from the text, it's contrary to what the Salaf were upon, there's no authentic proof to support that explanation, and so on. And with regard to the last point that we'll take today, insha'Allah, from the Imam Ibn Qudamah, rahimahullah, he continues, فَهَذَا وَمَا أَشْبَهَهُ مِمَّا صَحَّ سَنَدُهُ. He said, so this, and it's like, from that whose chain of narration is authentic. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, so that which is mentioned in these ahadith, with regard to these attributes, and their like, from the other ahadith, which contain attributes of the Lord, the Majestic and Most High, from that which its chain of narration is authentic, then it must be the case that its chain of narration, it has to be the case that its chain of narration is authentic. And to accept it, for us to accept it, its chain of narration must be authentic. Must be sahih. And the hadith that is sahih, the hadith that is authentic, is, and then Shaykh al-Fawzan gives a definition of the hadith which is sahih, the authentic hadith. He said, it is, مَا رَوَاهُ عَدْلٌ تَامُ الضَّبْتِ عَنْ مِثْلِهِ مِنْ بِدَايَةِ السَّنَدِ إِلَى نِهَايَتِهِ مَعَ السَّلَامَةِ مِنَ الشُّذُوذِ وَالسَّلَامَةِ مِنَ الْإِلَلِ. He said that the hadith which is sahih is that which is reported by a trustworthy narrator. Narrator who is adl, first condition, a narrator who is trustworthy. Who is tam al-dabt, complete in precision. Second condition, that the narrator has to be complete in his precision. From his like, from the start of the chain of narration to its end. And this is a condition with regard to every stage of the chain of narration. Each narrator has to be trustworthy and complete in precision. The connected chain. And then fourthly, that it is free from shuruth. It's free from being contrary to what's more authentic. And that it is free from ilal. It's free from having any illah, any hidden defect. Outwardly, it may seem at first glance to be authentic, but then the scholars of hadith have found some defect in the narration. It has to be free from both of these things, from contradicting what's more authentic, or from having a hidden defect. Then Shaykh al-Fawzan said, this is the sahih, this is what is authentic. That which fulfills these five conditions. So if a hadith is sahih, is authentic, from Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and it contains one of the attributes of Allah, the Majestic and Most High, or some news about Allah, the Majestic and Most High, then it becomes obligatory to have iman in it, and to hold it as creed and belief, aqidah. Whether it be mutawatir or ahad, whether it be a narration that is mutawatir, reported by a large number of people at every stage of narration, or whether it is ahad, it's reported by not many people at every level of transmission. It's the same. In either case, he said, it's obligatory to have iman in it and to hold it as creed and belief. Because it amounts to ilm, knowledge, and yaqeen, certainty. As long as it's sahih, authentic, then it amounts to ilm, knowledge, and yaqeen, certainty. It is not as the people of misguidance say, that khabar al-ahad, narrations which are not mutawatir, not reported by huge numbers at each level of transmission. That they say, these narrations, khabar al-ahad, even if it is authentic, they only amount to dhan, they only amount to surmise, in their view. Not that which is not certain knowledge. So the Shaykh is quoting the same of some of the people in this guide, like the Mu'tazila and their like. They say narrations, even if they're authentic from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in their chain of narration, but then they're not reported by huge numbers of people at every level, and we don't say they amount to knowledge, we don't say they amount to certainty, they can only amount to dhan, surmise, that we can surmise and take it to be most likely authentic, but we can't take it to be knowledge and certainty. So the Shaykh said, this is the same with the people of misguidance. Then he said, and this was because of their thinking being polluted by ilm al-kalam. This was because their thinking had been polluted by theological rhetoric and by logic. And if their understanding and their iman had been correct, they would not have said the same with regard to the ahadith of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In other words, as long as it is definitely sahih, authentic, then we take it to amount, as the Shaykh said, to be knowledge, ilm, and to be yaqeen, something certain. Then he gives the opposite case, if it's not authentic, he said. However, if its chain of narration is not sahih, not authentic, then it will be a hadith which is da'if, a weak hadith, unauthentic hadith. He said, the people of early times, with them, the hadith was divided into two categories, sahih, authentic, or da'if, unauthentic. And the hadith which is hasan, good, in their view, entered into that which is sahih, authentic. In the earliest scholars, they categorize the hadith into one of two categories, either sahih, authentic, or it's da'if, unauthentic. He said, as for the hadith which is hasan, they included it within that which is sahih, authentic. It's part of that which is sahih. Then he said, and the hadith came to be categorized into three categories, sahih, authentic, and hasan, good, and da'if, weak, unauthentic, in the time of the later ones from the people of hadith. And they say that the first person who mentioned this was Imam al-Tirmidhi, rahimahullah. Even some of the people say that the first person who categorized this middle category into a hadith being hasan was Imam al-Tirmidhi. The hadith at the lower end of that which is authentic. First one to categorize that, separate it from the sahih on its own, was Imam al-Tirmidhi, rahimahullah. He said, otherwise, the early people, with them, the hadith was categorized into the sahih, the authentic, which included the hasan, or otherwise into the da'if, the weak. And the weak, the da'if, does not enter into the affair of creed and belief, aqidah, unless it is based upon other evidences. The Shaykh mentioned, as for a nation, if you come across a hadith which is weak, we don't take it in aqidah at all. Unless it is something which is confirmed in other authentic texts. Then he said, a person may say, these hadith that the author mentions contain that which is weak, and they contain some weak narrations. Then we say, this was only mentioned by the author because of the fact that it was something strengthened by authentic proofs. And it has an authentic basis. Whereas the weak narration, or I said the weak narration, if it enters under that which has an authentic basis, then a mention can be made of it. But if it has no authentic basis, then it is not used as evidence in the matter of creed and belief. The example that can be, of course, given is the hadith we've had here. First hadith that we have, يَعْجَبُ رَبُّكَ مِنْ الشَّابِ لَيْسَ أَهُ صَبْوَى, that your Lord marvels at a youth who does not incline towards desires. As we heard, some of the verifiers mentioned, this is a weak notion. But as for what is contained in with regard to affirming al-ajab, wonder for Allah, marveling for Allah, then this is, as we heard, this is something confirmed in other authentic narrations. Then with regard to the next small point which follows on, then we mention it here, and we mention it at the start of next week as well, because it's connected to both, inshallah. But the Imam Ibn Qudamah continued, وَعُدِنَتْ رُوَاتُهُ, and its narrators are trustworthy. As long as the narration, its narrators are trustworthy. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, عُدِنَتْ رُوَاتُهُ, its narrators are trustworthy. This enters into that whose chain of narration is sahih, authentic. Because it will not be, a narration will not be authentic, sahih, unless its narrators are trustworthy. So this is a case of emphasis and linking connected matters. It's just an emphasis of what just preceded in the previous sentence. Alhamdulillah, wa sallallahu ala Muhammad. Any points of clarification?
What would be the age range for youth?
Have you had regard to age range for youth, then normally what they mention is Ash-Shabab, youth is up to the age of 40. They mention that linguistically, usually, what's described as being youth is up to the age of 40. Then after that comes the middle age. After the middle age.
He mentioned only accepting authentic narrations in respect of Aqeedah and belief. Is that sort of general fiqh as well, or just...
With regard to what's correct, then we base our deen, whether it be Aqeedah, whether it be manhaj, or whether it be points of fiqh, whether it be actions or dealings, but we base our deen upon that which is authentic. An ayah of the Qur'an with the correct explanation, or upon an authentic hadith from the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or upon an ijma', a consensus. As for weak narrations, we don't take them as part of our deen. Narrations which are not authentic from the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we don't take it as part of our deen. Rather, as Shaykh Fawzan mentioned, if we have a narration like the narration mentioned here, that your Lord marvels at a youth who has no inclination towards desires, then as the Imam mentioned that here, he mentioned that in the matter of Aqeedah, because there are other authentic evidences affirming and ajab, affirming marveling for Allah. Otherwise it wouldn't be mentioned. If this was the only narration about marveling for Allah, then we wouldn't mention nothing like that. We affirm that Allah ya'jab, we affirm that Allah marvels based on authentic narrations, based on the correct recitation of the ayah from Surah As-Saffat, and based on the authentic hadith of Al-Bukhari, that your Lord marvels at some people who have entered paradise in chains. So because of that we affirm al-ajab for Allah the Most High. And then because that's something affirmed, then the lack of the Imam here, he mentions the lack of this narration here, because it falls under that which is already confirmed. Allah. First is definite without it from now, and the second is indefinite. Within that, when it's indefinite, it would be that as well.
Спасибо.